Welcome to Design Oracles. We are here to pontificate, evangelize, and educate you on residential interior design and architecture.
I'm Amity Worrell, interior designer of Amity Worrell & Company.
And I'm Diane Kett, architect of DK Studio and together partners at Amity Kett.
Hi, welcome to Design Oracles. Today we're going to be talking about suitability in design. And one of the things that we get requests for, people get connected to moments that they've experienced perhaps on vacation or a space that they've visited that they feel really connected to and they're emotionally connected to that. Right, Diane, like
yes.
Maybe
mm-hmm.
they've gone to on vacation to Italy or to Spain, and they've visited some of the Gaudi sites
mm-hmm.
or and they come back from that vacation and they have some idea of wanting to bring some of that experience with them to their architecture or their interiors.
Right, in their houses. And so it doesn't quite always jive and fit with what we're trying to do. And, you know, kind of like, you know, the beach house looks great with the big wraparound porch and places for boats and the fun, bright colors that happen. Well, that looks fantastic at the beach, but not so much probably back at your home in the city or, you know, if it's out in the suburbs, right?
Yeah, I remember every time I used to go to the beach as a kid and I would buy a different pair of shell earrings and then I would think they were so beautiful and fancy and then wear them home. And somehow about 3 weeks later, look at them and think, that feels like vacation. So that's an extreme example of kind of bringing the beach home with you. But it happens. People, because as you know, we've been talking about, people get really connected to a place or a style and they really want to live in that style. But if it doesn't fit with where you live and how you live, you know, it's not a suitable design. So really it's about trying to find what is right for you, the way you live, the place you live, the time you live, and not trying to live in a different time period. And there's some examples of that in our region. Tuscan farm?
Yeah,
what do they
call
that?
Tuscan mm-hmm. Italian villa was so popular in the late 90s, early 2000, and we are fixing a lot of those today. Basically, definitely ripping them back down to the studs and trying to bring things more into proportion. I mean, they just look ridiculous in the Austin Hill Country setting.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think it relates to what we call vernacular architecture, where it relates to the specific area. I mean, if you go to Seattle, there's a definitely a certain type of style there. And when you go to Santa Barbara, right, there's a certain style. When you go to the Florida Keys, when you go to Massachusetts or Vermont, or again, we can, and then you can talk about the desert style houses. I mean, all
yeah,
in Adobe. So
there's nothing wrong with that kind of wanting to feel that and that feeling you get from being on vacation and that connection, because it is, you know, where you live, you want to feel connected to it. And there's a way to do it appropriately, but just trying to recreate that without any kind of understanding of how you live and where you live is really not the way to approach it. So one example we're going to give, and Diane actually wrote a blog on this, is the love of the farmhouse modern or the urban farmhouse that has been at least a thing in the region we're in, which is Central Texas, for a while now, maybe.
I would say it's countrywide.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Okay. And, you know, we have Joanna Gaines. Chip and Joanna Gaines really were behind that a lot, wouldn't you say, Diane?
Yeah, definitely, with their show mm-hmm. and promoting it, and mm-hmm. which is really great in that they got people so excited about their homes and wanting to decorate it and accentuate it. And, you know, they love to go to their store in Waco. I mean, Waco is thrilled. It's given them a real positive spin on their city. So, I mean, it's been really great and positive. However, we have to break up with that style.
Time
now.
To break up.
So,
yeah.
It's done.
Yeah. It's that exact thing we're talking about, right? It's not suitable to the time and space where everybody lives. If, however, you live on a farm, you may have a farmhouse, or there are times to have, you know, there are places to have little nods to that moment there. Because I think what appeals to people about the farmhouse is that it feels like home, feels homey.
Yeah, it
gives
you
nostalgia.
An emotional mm-hmm. response for sure.
Exactly. It's
I mean,
nostalgia.
I've been mm-hmm. a lot in the Northeast, mm-hmm. and I mean, the farmhouse is there definitely resonate with what the modern farmhouse is like in the proportions and styles and the way you do the windows and the siding and the gable roofs. And, you know, it makes you feel good. But they're usually on a very rural setting. You know, you've also got the red barn next door, or white barn or green barn.
Maybe you have a cow.
Maybe there's a few cows, horses.
Farmhouse cats. So unless you have a barn, you live on a farm, it's perhaps not appropriate. Or it can be done in just such a way that there are touches of it, there are moments of it. But being literal and trying to recreate that, it starts to feel a little bit like Disneyland.
Right. I mean, to take a whole suburban area and make it all modern farmhouses is just...
It feels forced.
Bizarre.
It feels forced. So, and we're not alone in this. There is a Wall Street Journal article that came out recently about saying goodbye to that trend. One thing that also I think I read in Diane's blog was about, and I bring up the beach again because that's a lot of the times where we go on vacation to be near water. And there is the vernacular, the like moment of the beach house, right, with a wraparound porch and a widow's walk and, you know, a view. And the houses are situated in such a way to take on the breeze and you don't need, you know, the AC to run all the time. And all of those things are great, you know, when you're at the beach, but sort of picking that up and bringing it to an urban or a suburban environment exactly is not going to translate. So really that's what we're just talking about today, is this leaning into what is suitable, but also bringing some of that character along with it that actually is promoting your style, your taste, what it is that you love, and, you know, kind of letting that vacation moment stay on vacation. Don't
right.
bring that with you
That's
to your
That's what
house.
Makes it so special and
Absolutely,
fun.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about how to do that, right? So we talked about kind of that exterior piece of it, the porches and the widow's walk and the, you know, peaks for the farmhouse. But for on the interiors, we also want to think about how we make our rooms relate and connect and not have each room be a totally different style. So I'm actually working with a client now who had a very specific, for 20 years, a very specific French country look in their house. They'd worked with a professional interior designer who applied that style. It wasn't like an organic moment that the client said, I like this. It was just, this is a look we're going to go for and we're going to put this in every room. But I think when that happens, and this happened with this client, is it didn't translate over time. They bring in new pieces of furniture. Your homes change. Different people move in and out. Kids grow up. They go to college. They come back. Maybe they bring a boyfriend. Maybe they bring a girlfriend. Maybe your career changes. You work from home. And having a very specific style like that can lock you into a space that just feels a little bit disjointed. So this client also really loves craftsman style. And so because they love craftsmanship and they love wood and they love care in design. And so instead of leaning into, okay, let's erase your French country style and let's lean into the craftsman, we're taking little moments from that and bringing them in, using a lot of wood, using a lot of paneling, just kind of playing with some of the aspects of that to make the space, yes, a craftsman feel, but relate to their kind of, you know, suburban neighborhood. And then another thing that comes up sometime, I don't know if Diane's run into this, but people love those spa bathrooms, Japanese spa bathrooms.
Or they've been in all those great hotel bathrooms and they want that.
Yeah.
A lot of that.
A lot of that.
A lot of that happens.
Yeah. So tell us about the client that we were talking about earlier that had the experience of the Japanese tub couldn't get out of.
Yeah. Sometimes people have the Japanese soaker tubs. And we were actually working on, someone had bought a property that then had the Japanese soaker tub. And the person selling it warned the new owner, do not get in that tub because you will never be able to get out. They're really hard to get out of. And so we took it out. We actually put in a really glorious big shower.
So. Yes, we took it out. Put in a shower.
But yeah, you have to think about those things. They said it took them a couple hours to get out, to try and figure out how to get out of this tub. So
imagine being stuck in a tub for a couple of hours. No. So I do think that's part of just thinking it through. I mean, hopefully you're not going to go down that track where hopefully someone's going to stop you along the way and that every room is not going to be different than the other. But that is what we mean when we talk about suitability, is just making sure that, yes, you can bring these styles in. You can have a Zen bathroom. You can have a spa-like bathroom, but it's going to need to relate to the rest of your space.
Yeah. I mean, probably having, you know, some of those hotels have a glass wall between the bedroom and the bathroom. And maybe that's not appropriate in your house day to day.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Actually, I have a client now that wants her bathroom redone. And so sometimes with us, when we're working with someone that has phased their project, so maybe they did the kitchen and the downstairs at one point, and then their focus became their outbuildings and outside and accessory dwellings, that's happened. And this particular client, we have ignored the bathrooms. We have not done anything on the bathrooms because we knew there were going to be a big investment and a big endeavor. And so it's interesting because clients that have very specific tastes, sometimes those change over time. And so you have to kind of help them look through their inspiration images and make sure that they're not doing one trend at this, you know, seasonal trends, I guess, or yearly trends, you know, and that's coming up. But the client wants something that feels of the moment. But it we have to remind the clients that, you know, this is, we need to come back to what we did downstairs 6 years ago. It needs to all relate. And luckily, it still can because we did a really smart design. But it's kind of like reminding the client of where we're taking them, how we're helping them get to the right place so that their space still feels, even if it's done at a different time, connected and linear and thoughtful.
Right. Yeah. One time we had that couple that had gone on vacation in Spain and came back, and you had mentioned Gaudi earlier.
Yes.
And they seriously wanted that blue tile that felt like you were in water that's in that townhouse that he did in Barcelona. That is amazing. It's an amazing space. But that can't be recreated today. We don't really have the craftsmanship for that. And also, do you really want that in your bathroom? So it took a little bit of convincing, right?
Yeah. But I did. I think I actually just saw that bathroom the other day. I was there visiting for a whole nother project. And I remembered that we did do some really interesting tile work on the floor in their shower. And that was the nod to it. What they really liked was the craftsmanship of it and the thoughtfulness. And so that's how we achieved that. We brought in some really interesting floor tile. So when they get into that walk-in shower, they have this beautiful tile moment. And so, but you know, it's a process. I always say that, you know, I'm here to kill your dreams when we start a new project.
No.
Hi, I'm here to tell you no about everything you really want.
And I mean, I love Gaudi and can get so excited about it, but I know that unfortunately we just can't recreate that anymore.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I always love those older bathrooms. When I go into an older house, maybe mid-century or even before, and the walls are completely tiled to the ceiling, and maybe it's that lovely pink or pink and black or that minty green. And, you know, it may not be of the moment, but I can look at that and I know how much time it took to do that bathroom right, and all the beautiful tiled trim pieces and how thoughtful it is. And I know how much work that was to achieve. And I also know that to redo something that has that same kind of integrity and interest in craftsmanship is a very expensive endeavor today in this time. And mm-hmm. So it always kind of breaks my heart a little bit to see that ripped out if people really can't get around. Maybe the quality is, or maybe that it's aged too much, or it just is incongruous with the rest of the space. But I always die a little inside when they tear it out because I know how hard it was to achieve that. So
yeah, some of those bathrooms are really amazing.
And so that makes me think of the Gaudi thing, you know, that incredible integrity of craftsmanship. And you know, if you think about it, at that time, they were trying new things, too. So some of these things are experimental that they're doing. And so we love them because they're beautiful. We love them because they're right. But they're right where they are. And they're right for that time period. And we can admire them and bring that inspiration and spirit back to do the right thing, just mm-hmm. like they did there. Do the right thing in your house, in your space.
Right.
Do the right thing.
I think he was trying to make it look like it was a ship, right?
I think so. It was water. So I have to say that one of my favorite quotes from Elsie DeWolf, She's widely considered America's first interior designer. And one of my favorite quotes from her, and a leading kind of line for her thought process in her design, was simplicity, suitability, and proportion. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. Simplicity, suitability, and proportion in your design. Just kind of taking the careful time to make sure that whatever it is that you're doing ticks all those boxes. The proportions are right, that it's suitable. And then the simplicity thing, I think, for me is more maybe a thought process. I don't know, where you kind of – and I've seen Diane do this too with clients, where you start a project and you're working with them and they have a way of thinking, right? Maybe they want to bring light into their space, or there's something about their project that is the lead, the simple line that's running through the whole motivation to do the project. And then over time, they get distracted. They're like, squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. And they lose that simplicity, that linear thinking. Taking them back to that, I think, is important to remind them where they started and what it was they wanted originally.
And also talking about suitability of the environment, thinking about, because sometimes I have people that come and say, oh, I just love the stained wood. I really want to have stained wood. And I would say that in Central Texas, there's a lot of hot sun. And, you know, you can do it. It's just it is really high maintenance. And so I'm always kind of having to make sure that they're up for all that maintenance. I mean, for windows, we're always wanting low maintenance windows, but that would actually, the wood, stained wood siding is actually much higher maintenance than even going with a wood window. So, you know, there's things like that to think about, you know, kind of like what I said in the desert with the adobe walls. I mean, there's a reason why they have those there.
Yeah.
Is because of the energy efficiency of those, and thinking about, you know, how much heat gain from the sun blasting on your walls is going to happen. The northern climates, you usually don't want big walls of glass facing north, whereas in the south, that's very exciting because we're always dealing with so much heat. But if you did that in the north, it's awful, which is actually where the salt box, you know, design came from up there, which has this really big sloping roof that would face north. And then basically the other side is two stories and has where all the windows are facing, the idea of facing south or more east and west, something like that. But basically turning your back to the north because it's so cold. And then in the south, we like to turn our back to the south. Although east and west can also be pretty blinding, but usually have to work with lots of porches or deep eaves and making sure that we can work with what kind of heat gain we're going to get with all of that. Yeah. Although looking at sunrise and sunsets are probably my favorite thing.
That reminds me of, you know, that there's a trend right now, at least where we are, and I think it is nationwide, painting exteriors quite dark. Dark is a saturated, heavy color. And when that was first kind of starting, at least here in this region, I consulted on an exterior for a client. And, you know, Texas is no joke when it comes to the sun. And you have to think about how things look in the Texas sun versus the way they look, you know, like Diane's saying, in the northern light. And, you know, maybe you're in New England. We painted a client's exterior a very beautiful, dark, rich color. And the vinyl siding melted and adhered to the house. So that was
what? Oh, my gosh. You usually don't see vinyl siding down here as much.
Yeah, you don't. And so that was a learning experience for me.
Gosh.
Like those learning experiences. That wasn't great. I've not had that happen before. The painter had never seen it before. So we do learn these things. But it was just kind of a reminder that, okay, let's be careful in our thought process and make sure that we're really understanding what we're looking at and in the environment we're looking at it. You know, you mentioned the kind of bright colors that you see at the beach. That works on vacation. That works in the Bahamas. It can be a little garish in Central Texas.
Well, I remember one of the houses I grew up in was always painted white. And my mom really wanted to paint it a different color, but it got so much blaring sun. If you painted it anything else, it just faded. So she just kept painting the shutters different colors.
That was her.
Oh, speaking of vinyl shutters, those also kind of tend to warp in the sun. So they're really inexpensive and a great option as far as, well, basically cost, but kind of want to steer away from those.
The overarching theme here is have that linear thinking. Make sure that you you know, remember what it, where you started and where you want to go. Don't get distracted by specific styles or moments or trends or your vacation, and kind of make sure that you stay on task and that you have good guidance and that you really think these things through from all angles. And am I going to be happy with this in 10 years? And, you know, there's a way to make things special and different and great and unique. And that's actually what we're talking about, is, you know, not just grabbing on to the latest, you know, farmhouse trend or the barn door and get distracted by that and blinded by that, and then find that, you know, mostly it's best to kind of ignore to some extent trends. You know, you want to take the good, chew the meat, spit out the bone, kind of learn from these different trends, see what sticks around, what you've really loved and that you will continue to love. But just make sure that everything's cohesive and thoughtful. And
yeah, definitely just make sure that you, it's some, as far as a trend goes, that you really love it. In fact, can we just talk about the barn doors real quick?
Sure. I love to beat up on the barn doors. So
what
did we say?
Which did become so popular. Really, unless you have a barn, I mean, they have no sound privacy. They are extremely expensive. The hardware is all exposed and runs the gamut as far as how much that's going to cost. And they wobble and they're just, they take up so much space. I mean, pocket doors, they go in the wall, so you still have wall space. So now you've got this big barn door, and whether it's closed or open, I mean, it's taking up a whole bunch of space. So a lot of times people want to do like a 6-foot wide opening with more barn door. That's 12 feet of space you got to give up.
To me, you're just giving up too much space for that barn door. Yeah. So unless you've got cows, you are not allowed to have a barn door.
But just really think about that.
Yeah.
And when you want it. So usually I do kind of lecture my clients when they want that. Really think about that. Do you want sound privacy? Do you want to have give up that much wall space? Do you want to spend that much on a door?
They're not easy to use always either, especially if they're large. So,
or if you're carrying stuff in, how do you even get it open and closed if your hands are full?
Yeah, I guess the point here is don't get distracted by that. Don't get distracted by one specific. You know, we've had clients before want to build a whole – do a whole renovation because they want a barn door, and they'll do whatever it takes to get that barn door. And then the barn door really is not
– suitable. Kinda,
yeah, it's not suitable. Exactly. Okay, well, thank you so much for listening today, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Design Oracles with Amity Worrell, owner of Amity Worrell & Company, and Diane Kett, owner of DK Studio, and together, partners at Amity Kett.